Well, good evening, everybody, and happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. Always want to give a tip of the cap to everybody out there. Hope you are enjoying your Sunday afternoon. The gang's all here. Well, not physically, but BC, Jordan Young, of course, our producer on site, Mr. Rieger, all here at the beautiful DGC, 6 weeks away, Rocket Mortgage Classic, right here at the historic DGC, so we'll be taking you up to that. Mike Fay up in Lansing, where his daughter is going to be playing. Right, Mike? If I'm not mistaken, fill everybody in.
Absolutely. We got the Top 50 Junior Tour event at Michigan State next couple of days. So I've been up with her and some of the kids, so it's fun stuff. And
good
happy
luck.
Father's Day, everybody.
Yes, we will be keeping tabs on what your daughter will be doing for sure, as we were keeping tabs on, I hope we can say this, friend of the show. Are we allowed to say that, BC? James,
yes.
Pyatt, friend of the show?
Friend of the show, yeah. I would say so, yes.
How was your trip to Boston? Boy, does that place look awesome.
It was cool. What a cool place. And the way they set the golf course up, they let the players actually score. The fairways were generous. The rough was not. It's U.S. Open rough, but the greens were extremely slopey, like I said in the text message. And then if you missed a green, it was extremely penal because of the tilts on the greens. It was just a perfect U.S. Open venue. It had the vibe. It had the feel. I mean, we're standing on 17 during one of the practice rounds. I looked at James. I was like, if you just got a wooden club in your hand, it'd be like 1908 again. That's what it felt like. I mean, the fairway, the fescue, the red fescue, and it just looked so cool in such a throwback in time. It definitely a major championship venue.
And the event matched golf course. I mean, today was spectacular,
cool,
right? I mean, you got to watch the last, I don't know, 12 holes, and it was exciting.
They let them play, Mike. They let them play and score a little bit. You know, they didn't make it brutal. They didn't back them up like they did yesterday. Because I think the USGA, you know, it rained quite a bit last night there. And I think the USGA went, okay, we got to kind of back this off to make it kind of exciting instead of everyone just backpedaling.
Well, it was only 59 or 60 degrees there today, too.
Yeah, it's cold there. It's cool. It's a different kind of place than we have here. You know, wow, what a golf course. Over the top. USGA, I've always said USGA has the best events.
I would say they knocked it out of the park with this event this year, and what better timing, I guess, than with how the week started with all the interviews and this and that and the questions. But it was nice to see that when Thursday hit, it was all about
the
U.S. Open.
Right.
And it was all about the U.S. Open the whole rest of the week, and a lot of great guys were on the top of the leaderboard. I honestly thought Hideki was going to have a chance there at 3-under to maybe get in a playoff with two or three other guys.
Yeah, these guys.
And guys just keep hitting shots and shots and shots. It was ridiculous coming down the stretch.
I would honestly say, you know, to talk about James Pyatt, it's probably one of the best ball striking rounds I've seen in my life.
Mm.
I mean, I play with Tiger. James Pyatt hit the ball. I'm going to tell you right now that this kid's arrived. He's there. He's ready to win. He's ready to win.
Well, I'm 69 at a U.S. Open. I mean, enough said.
Awesome. Playing with those two guys.
Even Rahm said to me after the round, he said, your boy can play golf. And it was a cool compliment from him. And then, you know, Rick Cessnaus, Markawa's coach, I walked with him. And he said, man, you've got a good boy in your hands here. And he's going to be someone to be reckoned with down the road.
Oh, is that awesome?
Yeah.
He seemed like he had some moxie this week. And, man, I was pulling for him to get it done there on day two and then have a run on the weekend, maybe.
He had a rough start there, you know, on the second day. But he got through that rough patch and he kind of, you know, he found something with his wedge game around the greens. And he really started believing. And then on that front nine, I thought he would kick it in. And it just didn't happen.
What happened on eight? I didn't get to watch. I know he missed about a 5-6 footer, but did he get kind of?
He kind of got
Was he down below?
I would say
up and down.
No. He kind of got hosed off the tee shot. He hit it down the left side, and the fairway kind of tilts that way, and it rolled like this far in the rough,
which is not a good spot.
No. So he had to wedge it out, and the ball, of course, went too far. So he missed his number. He was too close, and he had a really good wedge, but he flew it by the hole, one bounce over, and then from behind that green, he had a unbelievable pitch shot. you know, from about three paces off the green to get it about 5 feet, but he missed it.
So the best chuckle I got when I was watching the telecast, when I saw James putting and they said, James just wedged in for three in the last, like, BC, come on. I was a BC chipping for a three. Right.
Well, but, for the benefit of people out there, James Pyatt just missed the cut. I mean, literally by one stroke. I think, BC, you had an up-close and personal view of what we were all doing. We were sitting there watching, you know, okay, he's going to make it. He's going to make it. He's damn it. I mean, really, that was kind of the feeling. But, I mean, look, you know, tough. The kid's a competitor, and I know you're a competitor. It's a tough pill to swallow. But the learning experience and going through this the way he did – are you kidding me? It's immeasurable at this point in time.
You know, and I talked a lot with his caddy, Danny Ellis, and Danny is like, Danny, I mean, the progression I've seen from Bay Hill until this week has been mind-blowing. I mean, absolutely mind-blowing how this kid has grown and all the crap he's gone through and all the crap he's taken in the media. He's handled it really well. And you know what? I'm really proud of him. He's really done a nice job. And I know his dad and I are really hard on him all the time. And, you know, his dad and I are watching him down the stretch. Oh, God, how can he do that? What an idiot. I mean, girl, dang it. You know, we're in the gallery. We got to stay away because we're a little too vocal. But James, he looked really comfortable out there. And I'm really, really happy with his progress.
You can't take away the fact that the guys he's playing with and hanging with and every day gets that opportunity to be with, learn, and sponge it up. And over the course of, like you said, since Bay Hill, through the Masters, the Heritage, you know, all these events, I mean, that just chalks it up to, like, long-term development, and eventually he's punching through.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with the big announcement coming tomorrow, more players coming out to the LIV that, you know, and he's comfortable. And he's comfortable with the decision. He's very comfortable with anything that's going on. And I think he's going to keep getting better and better and better. And I really, God dang it. That was a tough pill to take, Mikey, but
yes,
what I really felt good about.
No, I was excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that it was so close, but, you know, super excited at the same time.
Yeah.
You
know? How about excited for Matt Fitzpatrick?
Oh my gosh. Yep. What a dog.
And his caddy. You actually kind of won. Cause he caddied for
14 Ryder,
Westwood for a long time.
I know. 14 Ryder Cups this guy's been through, and then all these majors.
It's 40 years. That's his first major.
How about him caddying for Ballesteros?
Yeah.
How about that bag, Mikey?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Awesome bag.
How Darren much golf Clark, is this guy?
Yeah. Darren Clark, Westwood, Ballesteros, and what was the last one? Can't remember the last one, but he was pretty emotional. I think Fitzpatrick was just as happy for him as he was for him winning.
I mean, what a great day. What a great day. I mean, Zalatoros, the way he played today. Oh my gosh. I mean,
putting stroke or not, man, he was making them.
Well, and that's how many times have we sat here saying, does anybody want this tournament? Today, somebody wanted this tournament.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Somebody wanted this tournament today.
Mikey, we didn't have a chance of winning this one. We couldn't take it. They took it.
That was a boxing match with a couple guys going down the stretch and a couple other guys wanting to get in the ring.
Yeah. Let me tell you what, you just saw the future of golf right here with these guys. You know, even Scheffler, Rahm, they snuck their nose in there. They just didn't get it done.
Scheffler, unbelievable.
But, I mean, you saw the future of the next 10 years of golf right here. It is really cool. It's really in a good spot, the game of golf. I don't care where they're playing. The world of golf is in a good place.
Absolutely. No doubt. And that's why we are here to talk about so many great things going on. Mike, you wanted to say?
Yes. You know, every week we keep coming up. I mean, Zalatoris right there.
Yep. That was my pick, by the way.
Yeah, I know. He's right there, and it's going to be fun to watch it when he wins one.
Yeah,
it's going to be good.
No doubt about it. Well, as I mentioned, we're 6 weeks away from a great tournament in our own backyard. Rocket Mortgage Classic is going to be taking place, probably crowning a champion 6 weeks from now, and we will be here. Where is here? The beautiful Detroit Golf Club. My name is Sean Belegian, BC, Jordan, Mike Fay, so glad you could join us on a Sunday night right here on 760 WJR. Well, I want to tell you, coming up in about 15 minutes, we are going to have Tony Mancilla, the general manager of Island Resort and Casino, joining us. Pretty cool. The Epson Tour event this week, the Island Resort Championship, will be played at Sweetgrass Golf Club. And a couple of fellas that we know will be up there playing on Wednesday. Jeff Marcero and Steve Courtney.
Wow, I'm wondering how many balls they'll lose up there.
Oh, well, Courtney will. Marcero, you know, Marcero will get up in the air once in a while. He's a little okay.
I want the back report. Last I heard, it wasn't very good.
Let's ask him right now.
We need the IR report for game four.
Yeah, what's the IR? Come on, Marcero, give it up.
You know, before we get into some other things, Jordan, I have to – you made the cut up at the Michigan Open.
Yes.
Don't roll your eyes. Job. Congratulations on that.
Good job, Thank Jordan.
Thank you. Yeah, I texted BC. I said, yeah, I ran into a little bit of an issue and – He said, well, what happened? He said, well, I've never done this before, but I lost a dozen golf balls in four rounds.
So, of course, I'm reading this text.
It was a little
James
difficult.
Pine. He goes, he lost a dozen balls. One round? I was like, no, in four rounds. He's like, he made the cut?
Yeah.
I was like, God dang, I thought that was a Michigan Open. Not
yeah.
The, not the
yeah,
Joppers
which you,
Open.
You can do up there.
Like, oh, yeah, you can lose a ball a hole as far as.
But I knew I was in trouble. I mean, I wasn't really ready to play, but I made the cut. I battled through mental strength, and then you know, you get up there on the range and you know, all the Michigan State guys, all the Michigan guys, all the college bags are up there, and they're going through the routines, and the guy goes, do you want two buckets? I go, no, I won't make it through one. But it was fun. It's always good to compete. It was cool to see a lot of our students up there playing.
Yeah.
And kids that started at PGA Junior League when they were, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and they're playing in the Michigan Open.
I guess
we've done our job when that happens.
Way to
right?
go. You know, absolutely. So that's what cool. it's all about. Yeah. Well, the funny thing about it, too, you also had to grind through on day three, 198 degree weather up there.
Oh my.
Gosh, yeah. Was it hot up there? It was fun because we got up there Wednesday. It was miserable hot.
It was hot. But we played in the morning.
Okay.
And we played in the morning. And I spent the whole day back at Mr. Matt Grabowski's house at Spider Lake inside working on the computer. So I didn't really have to
deal with bugs?
It.
Were the bugs out?
No.
Were any bugs?
No.
Uh-oh.
No. But I will say awesome. This. The guys were shooting 7, 8, 9, 10 under par like it was 68.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the students that come in to see the three of us, Mike, Brian, and myself, and ask for consistency, just look at how the guys that did shoot 62, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and see what they shot to back it up. Golf is not easy. A lot of these guys were anywhere from 8, 9, or 10 shots worse the next day. And then to see the last day when it blew, you know, 25, 30 miles an hour. The Bear is not a course you want to play at 25, 30 miles an hour.
No, not.
And Patrick Wilkes Crier played some unbelievable golf for 3 days. Unfortunately, the last day he shot 81. And, you know, I mean, he needs to keep his head up because he played some awesome golf. And Jake Neen won. He shot one over the last day and won for his second victory up there. So it's always tough. And you just got to know, like, you're just not going to shoot the same scores back-to-back days, especially after you shoot a low round.
Yeah.
It's always going to come back a lot more with a lot more adversity the next day.
And BC, it was chilly all weekend at the Open, or at least the time
it was
you
cool,
were there.
Yeah, it was very comfortable. I mean, for me, it was cool. You know, it was in the mid-70s during the week, and then obviously over the weekend it got really cool. But no, it was nice. It was a really, really nice week.
Yeah.
You know, for what golfers like comfort. You know, comfort weather, I like it, you know, in the upper 80s. But, yeah, for those guys, I guess it was okay.
I love that cap, by the way. Anybody awesome. With a little Irish blood floating through their veins, and I think we all
He's
do.
Got the double thing that going. He's got beautiful. The shirt and the top, the hat on.
That is a beautiful thing for folks out there that are not joining us on one of the platforms. BC has the U.S. Open cap with clovers all over it.
You know, I sent the wife down to the merchandise tent, and I gave her $50. I'm like, that's it.
$50.
Okay.
You can buy a pack sack of teas for that.
No, not, you know what, there it's not bad. You know, I bought it in the players thing, so it's discounted, but she goes to the merchandise tent. She comes back with like three bags and like a couple bucket hats, some sweatshirts, this and that. I'm like, how are we getting that home? That's all I'm thinking about. How are you getting that stuff home? She's like, I got to worry about it. Nah, we got it home.
anyway, great stuff. Mike, cool. What's going on in the LPGA?
Well, we had a playoff today. She almost defended today. Nelly Korda almost defended in our home state at Byfield Country Club, the Meyer LPGA Classic for Simply Give.
I've been out there. Beautiful place.
Yeah. Nelly Korda, Leona McGuire, and Jennifer Kupchow went into a playoff, and all of them were at 18 under par, and it looks like Jennifer Kupchow is the winner. Good stuff for her.
$375,000.
Yes.
But what a group, right? Co, the other quarter, Jessica, you got Lexi Thompson, Brooke Henderson, Christy Kerr. I mean, what great field for Michigan.
Yes.
They must
awesome.
Like that event.
I think they love coming here.
They like the groceries at Meijer.
Well, that too.
No comment.
That's good. That's good. And
awesome.
Yeah, keeping an eye. Obviously, you always want to keep an eye on what's going on there. So that's great in our own backyard. I want to ask all of you guys, though, Matt Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal today.
Northwestern.
Doesn't it seem like – I mean, I don't know about you guys, but didn't everybody think somebody else was going to win it? It's going to be Hideki. It's going to be Scheffler. It's going to be Zalatoris. It's going to be Colin. And Fitzpatrick took control. I mean, that's beautiful.
Well, you saw the way he struck the ball today. I mean, he didn't look like anything was phasing him. That one shot he hit, I think it was 16, where he went a little off to the right, and he was in the little straw area, and the fans were, like, right on top of him. Finally, he just said, screw it. I'm just ripping it right over. And he just went, pew! Right up in the green, right, flagged it, and then, of course, he rolled in the putt, and that changed the game.
15 changed the whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
is that Zalatoris went way right?
I would say way right.
He went pretty far right.
He was in the trampled area, which is pretty far right. Yeah.
Well, how far is that? Like 15 paces?
Oh, no, more than that. Yeah. I mean, 15 paces to the ropes. Nah, 10 paces.
But that was an advantage. That was an advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Because Pied hit a little over there, and I tell you what, you have to work your butt off to get across that cross bunker out of that rough. Because if you're 5 feet off the fairway,
you're done. And that's where Zalatoris was.
20 yards off the fairway, you got a shot.
That's where it changed, because Zalatoris hit the better drive there. He hit a better drive on that hole, and it was 5 feet off the fairway, and he was hosed. Yep. And he advanced it to the bunker. Then he had no bunker shot, and they have the same putt. One guy misses, one guy makes, two shot swing.
Yeah. That's
when it changed.
That's what James did. James missed the fairway he missed one on 12 when he chipped in for par. He missed it by like 10 feet, and he's in the hay.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the long grass, in the hay. The same thing on 13. He had a rough patch there, but it's like if you're going to miss it, you had to miss it wide. And then, you know, the bunker shot he hit on 18. Let me tell you.
That was cool because he had to.
Unbelievable. I mean, that bunker, because James had been there the practice, and I was like, oh, we don't want to just put a big X over there. No. No, over here is bad.
Are you surprised he hit the 3-wood off the tee there? Or no?
Yeah. I mean, no, because the fairway actually angles in the farther you go at 305. It's 309 to get beyond the bunker there on the left.
And he was piercing that thing all day, too.
Tell you what, you go with a club you know you can find the fairway, and you don't know what you're going to do under that circumstance. I mean, that's a place unknown, right, for a guy that hasn't won the United States. He won that tournament there, so that's what he had going for him, but he's never won a tour event or another major in the United States. But I'll tell you what, the shot he hit out of that bunker, that, like they said, that was a Sandy Lyle-esque bunker shot. Awesome.
But the guys that know, I mean, that he was ready, too. He was probably way more ready than Zalatoris.
Both those guys were ready, though. Both those guys, the way they played golf today.
That was an awesome display. I was hoping them and Scheffler would get in a playoff for 18 holes. That would have been something.
That would have been really cool. I mean, not that I'm hoping someone bogeys last.
No, week. No,
those
no.
guys in the right. shootout on Monday.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
When you sent that text, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
I could get up waking up early to that and watching that tomorrow,
that
right?
That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, you could really tell, Sean, somebody wanted to win.
Yep.
And that's fun. We haven't had that in a while, right, BC?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? We've made that joke so many times the last couple of years. It's amazing. I mean, really, we really have. Nobody wants to win this tournament. Is somebody going to take this tournament? Today, somebody did.
It's cool to see it happen in such a big event and a high profile. U.S. Open that these guys played so well too.
No doubt about that. Well, we've got a tournament here in our own backyard coming up 6 weeks from this very day. An opportunity to come out and see some of the best golfers at just a historic, beautiful course, the DGC. Of course, I'm talking about the Rocket Mortgage Classic. We've got another.
A lot of small trees.
We've got another one happening in our great state, as a matter of fact. The Epson Tour, the Island Resort Championship at Sweetgrass, is being played this week. And we will talk to the general manager of Island Resort and Casino in Harris, Michigan, when we come back here, Spin on Golf on a Sunday night. Glad you could join us on 760 WJR. Well, if we've said it once on this show the last 3 years, we've said it 279 times. If you're planning your golf trip, don't look outside the state of Michigan. There are so many great places to play here in our state. There's no reason to go anyplace else. And one of them, well, we are going to let you in on a little secret about one of them right now. As a matter of fact, joining us, the general manager of the Island Resort and Casino up there in Harris, Michigan, kindly joining us, Tony Mancilla. Pretty big week for them and pretty big news about their original course, Sweetgrass. Tony, really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for joining us here on Spin on Golf. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Tony, let's start with this first. Congratulations to you and everybody up there. Sweetgrass Golf Club has been named the 2022 National Golf Course of the Year by the NGCOA. That's the National Golf Course Owners Association. What a great, great thing that is for everybody.
Yeah, it was something we were really excited about. We won the Michigan Award, and that was really, really, we thought it was outstanding. And to get in the national one and to win that one, you know, when you saw the courses we were up against, there was some pretty nice ones out there. Stream Song was one of them. But we were strong in all their categories, and it's really been a big boost for us too, you know, just morale-wise, but also in bookings.
You know, it's interesting. We were just saying before you came on, I don't know how much of a chance you've had to listen to us the last few years. We always urge people to go out and play some of the courses all around the great state of Michigan because there are so many great courses to play. But you guys have a package called the Perfect Foursome, and that is so intriguing to me. Can you let everybody know what the Perfect Foursome's all about?
Yeah, you know, for about $380, you can stay for 3 nights at the resort, and you can play Gray Walls, which is number 2 public in the state up in Marquette. You can play Timberstone, which is a highly regarded course. You can play Sweetgrass, and you can play Sage Run, which is our new course. So big package, very economical, and they sell out fast.
I mean, it's too cheap, first of all. The place is over the top awesome, and it's not number 2 in the state. It's number 1 in my book. But, yeah, great job up there. And you know what? With the big expansion, a $33 million expansion, I haven't been there since they did it. I mean, I was there a couple of years ago, but it sounds phenomenal over the top.
Oh, yeah. We added 128 rooms, so our hotel has 454 rooms now. It's very, very big, and through mid-June through the end of September, we'll run about a 99% occupancy every day. So it's full a lot of golfers, a lot of different groups of people come through. We have a spa, a water park in there, a restaurant on the 12th floor. So the expansion turned out really, really nice.
99%. What the heck? What's your marketing team doing? they're not doing
where the 1% is the 3rd and 4th of July. Everybody's out, you know, out at the park. So that's really the only 2 days
road trip.
Sold out.
Road trip.
That sounds great to me.
We know when to go, right?
Sounds like a Spin on Golf road trip.
Yeah,
right?
That sounds great to me.
Marshall, make it happen.
Tony Mancilla up there in God's country. Boy, I love the Upper Peninsula.
It sounds like he's a long way away too, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it just sounds like
right?
he's on a can and a rope.
He is the general manager of Island Resort and Casino, and of course, their original course out there Sweetgrass. Hey, pretty big week for you guys. We talked last week here on Spin on Golf about the Epson Tour, very close to us, but you guys have the Island Resort Championship this week. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's our 11th event. All the ladies down there in Ann Arbor will be driving up this weekend, and they'll be staying here next week. Very big week for us. We have Pro-Ams on Wednesday and Thursday. Professional tournament is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Generally, 70% of our winners have gone on to the LPGA Tour. You know, the average on the tour is about 20% that eventually get up there. We're at 70, so really, really a good test of golf for them. It really identifies the best players, and it's just an exciting event. It kind of kicks off our golf season.
That's 8 out of 11. Okay, good. I'm trying to do the math here. Okay. He's a percentage guy.
Tony Medcilla, general manager of Island Resort and Casino. And, of course, if we did not mention, I know we did, but it's always nice to get there, their original course, Sweetgrass, has been named the 2022 National Golf Course of the Year by the National Golf Course Owners Association. Tell us a little bit about the Pro-Am. I know a couple of our own will be up there. Jeff Marcero, Steve Courtney will be up there. Those are always fun events. What is going on Wednesday up there?
Yeah, it's Wednesday and Thursday. It's our sponsors get to play with a pro. And it's a foursome, and they play with a pro, and they scramble. We have a pro shop experience where they get a couple hundred dollars each to go in and buy equipment. They play 18 holes with the pro. We have free food and drinks free all day. It's really a top-notch event. If you've never played in a pro-am, it's hard to explain. It's hard to explain how good they are. You know, they, you know, you think your team's in trouble, and they always bail you out. So it's kind of the highlight for our sponsors every year to come out, and they're business partners of ours and community business people. They like to bring out their clients, and I like to tell them, you know, you could take people down to Lambeau Field or Ford Field, and you can buy them sweet tickets, and they're going to want to watch the game for 3 hours, and they don't want to hear you. But on a golf course, you got their ear for 4.5 hours, and, you know, they want to talk golf, and it's really a great, great event.
That's a great point.
That is a good point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, the big thing that we talked about this morning with a couple students, because one of my students volunteered down at Ann Arbor for the event this weekend. The girls, and as you observe and watch, it's the tempo, the routine. It's a little robotic, but their routine and their tempo, the pace is very, very good.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, if you get a chance, to watch, well, I could say I could have used a little bit of that tempo last week, but there was not a lot of tempo in my swing. But that's the biggest thing I find with the girls. They're very steady. Wedge games are very good, and their putting is very good as well.
Tony, we wish you all the best this week. Again, it's the Epson Tour Island Resort Championship at Sweetgrass. It's happening June 24th through the 26th, 11th year of the event. Before we let you go, anything else you have on the docket, anything else you want to get out there for the fine folks that are maybe looking to take their own golf trip?
Well, you know, up in the UP, we got a lot of nice golf courses. The weather's perfect in the summer. You know, it's averages about 75, nice and cool, but a lot of good golf, and you don't have to travel a lot once you're here. You know, a couple hours between each course, even the good ones, the big ones, but you got a lot of little ones in there too that you can play. So, a lot of tee times up here that. You know, if you're looking to play a lot of golf with your buddies, this is a good place to be.
What was that Fab Four price again? I want to know this.
Perfect foursome. One more time, tell everybody all about that, Tony.
Well, for just under $400, about $380, you can play. You can stay 3 nights at the resort, and then you can play Gray Walls up in Marquette, Iron Mountain, Timberstone, Sweetgrass, and Sage Run. So four courses and
that's
three nights, and very economical, and packages go fast. So, you know, I always let folks know, just to give you an idea how what the award did for us. You know, we do about 32, 33,000 rounds last year. We book about 2,000 of those by February. People are just starting to get into the golf mindset. This year we had 16,000 booked by February.
Wow.
And
wow.
We had 30,000 booked by May.
Whoa.
We're going to probably go over 40 this year. So
whoa.
A lot of interest up here.
Well, I think the secret is out now, Tony.
Oops.
I am guilty because I have never played golf in the UP.
Oh, come on.
I'm from Northwestern Ontario, uh-huh. So it's kind of like the meat and the sandwich. I played a lot in the bottom P and a lot up in Canada, but never in between. So
let's go.
I might have to make a road trip.
We'll get. I'm in, and we'll give a shout-out to the Escanaba Eskimos while we were at Tony Mancilla, general manager of the Island Resort and Casino, the Island Resort Championship at Sweetgrass, June 24th through the 26th. Really appreciate you taking the time. If there's ever anything we can do for you, don't hesitate to give us a shout.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on. And if you do come up, just give me a call and I'll set you up.
Oh, trust me, I am.
Thank you, Tony.
Tony Mancilla right. Kindly joining us here. Sunday night, it is Spin on Golf from the DGC. 6 weeks away, Rocket Mortgage Classic. And we'll be talking about it right here on 760. WJR. Well, I'm going to go to Mike Fay on this one. This is something we were talking about during the break, as I'm sure people on our streaming platforms know. Grayson Murray, how can I say this in a classy manner? He kind of lost it today.
Maybe won a little Happy Gilmore.
Love it.
Yeah. Was it good for all those kids that were watching the U.S. Open? I tell you that. And he whipped his putter on 7. Then he snapped another club.
He didn't whip it. He gave it a good, shove toss.
Yeah, it wasn't a tomahawk.
But how did he break another one?
Yeah, it was good enough.
Yeah, he snapped an iron over his knee.
Oh, I love doing that.
Yeah.
That feels so good sometimes. Oh, man, it feels good.
Now, Mike, you might be the only guy that could say this. I mean, Jordan and I definitely can say this, that we are no angels. We have had our issues.
Yeah, no.
I used to prepay my fines every year.
Yeah.
Prepay? So I knew I was on the clock all the time. You know what? I just make it out to the Junior Golf Foundation. You know, make it to the foundation. And I had to write one to Michigan and to National PGA, you know, because I knew I was going to have an offense on both ends. So I am not going to throw stones in a glass house because, believe me, I was the worst. I was the worst for a long period of time.
One of my best was when I got pissed and I took my iron and smacked the tire of the cart and I missed the tire. the hubcap shattered. Oh. So I went right into the clubhouse and I go, I apologize. Here's the hubcap and here's a check for $100.
I'll tell you what. I first and only time I broke a club in anger, I was probably 12 or 13 years old, and I think it was like a 7-iron, and I gave it the snap like, you know, Grayson did today over the knee. And I was taught a lesson by my dad, and I didn't have a 7-iron for about 2.5 months, which made life very difficult when you're trying to play golf.
Yeah, that's a go-to club.
That's a good lesson.
It was a good lesson for me.
You guys snap them over the knee. I mean, I could never do that.
Ooh,
man,
it feels good.
No, I always went to the foot. I just went to the foot and pulled back on it.
Sometimes it just you just get this rush like, oh, great.
Oh,
usually at the
so
end
good.
Of the season when it all amps up and I'm ready to be done. But
No, because right. At the end of the day, it was the bill.
So yeah. I have kind of a punk of the week story, and it's more of a frustrating thing. And we'll call them the two punks of the week. There were two guys, actually, in the Michigan Open.
Ooh.
We must have had the featured group for some reason because there was 20 people watching our group in the Michigan Open. But there was 8 carts. Now, mind you, there's no carts allowed.
What the?
That's a resort call.
Okay.
In a hard copy.
There's no – well, I have a cart. My other guys have a cart. So let's just say there's a lot of carts. There's guys driving down the middle of the fairway with clubs on the back of their cart.
Wow.
So, you know, I take it to the next level and let the guys know, and they come out and tell them, sir, you're going to have to leave the golf course. Like,
right.
You've got a gas cart, and you have to have a handicap thing, or you can't be out here. You got to walk. Okay. So they kind of meander around, then they leave. They come back.
Who are they following?
They're parked right behind me. On par 3.
Oh, no.
Now, they've parked behind me twice before. They parked behind me on the par 3. I hit it right in the water.
Oh, no.
And mind you, on the par three, there's now 8 carts and they're all moving behind. So I got a little frustrated. And then, so they finally boot him off the course for the third time. Now I give these guys credit. Now they nominate him as the punk of the week.
Were they drinking?
Probably. Okay. They came back on the 11th tee. They pull up behind me. I hit a 3-wood out of bounds. I look back there and they've got a handicap sticker on their cart. And I'm like, son of a, I was so pissed, but I was kind of like, good for you.
Yeah.
But I was so
good
pissed.
Good thinking.
Anyways, can't get pissed, those guys are my punks of the week right there. Come on. Jeez. It cost me like 6 shots.
It cost you like $120.
Well, it's not the money that matters.
I know. So anyway, I'm going to say it again. Like I prefaced it before, I'm not going to throw stones because I have lived in the glass house. Okay? Let's just say that. But you know what? If you're on the PGA Tour's payroll, just say it. Quit sucking off the tit. You know what? Did I say that on the air? Anyway.
It's milking.
Right. Okay, thank you. Yeah, anyway, just say it. Quit. Justin Thomas, just say it. I'm sick and tired of hearing this guy in the microphone and then his whiny little voice when he's got a drainage cap and he's taking a drop. But you know what? There's some guy that would have taken a drop. You know, these guys, it's not fair. You know what? It's a double standard. You know what? Just fuck up, grab your cojones, and play golf and shut up. This guy is...
Is he your punk of the week?
He is my punk of the year.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
Punk of
that.
The year. Him and Rory both. Right. Punk of the year.
Quickly before we get out of here, is Liv going to get the golf ranking points? They are going to apply. If they haven't already, Greg Norman said by Monday. Is this going to be an arduous process or is this something that you think will go through? They are going to apply for the golf ranking points, which, I mean, let's be honest, that would be huge for them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we'll see tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow.
Okay.
How many are we expecting tomorrow?
I don't know anything.
6?
I don't know. I hope.
Give me a points bet over and under.
I can't.
4.5?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. That wasn't difficult to
tell. I don't know.
I've known BC for a long time.
I don't know.
And I've never seen him keep his mouth shut.
It's so hard.
And now that's like it's great. It's almost kind of amusing.
Don't say BC. Don't say BC. Look at my wife chiming in all.
That's great.
I didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything.
I didn't say a word.
Nothing. Nope. As we said, these guys aren't going away. I mean, there's no doubt.
Senior junior tomorrow.
Oh, 36.
36 holes. I don't know if I'll be able to make it. My wrists are still sore from last week.
I thought it was 18. Now I know it's. I saw it today. 36.
36 holes.
Oh, my goodness.
Supposed to be 90 though.
Oh, good. I'll be good.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'll be good. And Mike, good luck to your kids, especially your daughter up there in Lansing. Look forward to it. And
thanks, guys.
Some thanks to throw out there. Mr. Rieger out here. Thank you as always. Blake back at the studio. Jeff Marsor and, of course, Nick Roddy. Jordan, BC, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week right here. Spin on Golf on 760 WJR. Have a great night, everybody.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.